Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening and weekends at either 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 11. And tonight we're having the show at 9:30. And tonight I want to tell you, first of all, I'm a great fan. I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary. And many of the topics, I have been a Lutheran pastor, and many of the topics that I choose have a biblical and theological orientation. Not tonight, however. Tonight, I'm going to go into another area which greatly interests me. I'm a great fan of English and American and French and Russian literature. And I'm going to talk about and ask you to join me in a bit of a talk or a slight comment about the great, great English, outstanding English poet, John Milton, the author of the only epic poem in English that has been brought to light. He's also the author of Paradise Regained, a sequel to Paradise Lost, and a play modeled on the Book of Judges, as a Greek play, Samson Agonistes. These are all great works, and I treasure them and love them. Milton, with his other poetry, lyric poetry, Comus and L'Allegro, he is a great, great poet. And I have to say that Paradise Lost, it is the greatest poem, one of the greatest poems ever written, because Milton honed in on what he felt was, and correctly determined, was the critical point in human history, the fall of man into sin. I can choose to believe it, but obviously the presence of sin in the world is a fantastic reality, and that clearly this event occurred. I'm going to give you a little bit of background about myself before I go into this very great poet, John Milton. And before I do that, I'm going to talk a little about my background and where I'm coming from. This is a politically incorrect show. It's not politically correct. We are not concerned with media hype, media falsehoods, or anything like that. We're not concerned. We're concerned with critical thinking and getting it honest discernment and truth and facts. That is the object of this show. It is not political rhetoric. We are not concerned with media lies. They are an insult to everybody's intelligence if you can figure out that they are lies. And in light of that information, I choose to engage in honest critical thinking. Second thing is that I'm a Christian, and I'm not about to abandon that position. And I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And of course, Milton took Genesis 2 as the subject of his epic poem Paradise Lost, The Fall of Man into Sin. We'll get into that in a minute. And I also adhere to all the creeds of the church, the apostles, Nicene and Athanasian Creed, and these are the guides for my thinking in life. And if I read anything, I read C.S. Lewis, I read G.K. Chesterton, I read St. Augustine, I read the epistles of Paul. Paul was the greatest religious thinker that has ever lived. And if you haven't read his epistles, you haven't lived and you haven't been informed. He was a very great religious mind and theological thinker. I read other things, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, Calvin, Luther, Bonhoeffer, T.S. Eliot, whoever you might name in the Christian pantheon, these are the people I choose to read and I choose to be informed. I also run two radio shows, a podcast show and this Blog Talk Radio show. Both have many visitors from many countries. In this Blog Talk Radio show, I'm very happy that Saudi Arabia has been a visitor, as has India and Bangladesh and Malaysia and Japan and United Kingdom and Germany and many, many other countries have visited this show. About over 4,000 people have visited my podcast, and I'm very happy to report that many of our dear Muslim brothers and sisters and brothers and sisters from mainland China visit these sites and these shows. Despite their Christian orientation, they nevertheless are quite open to visit these Christian shows. And this is despite the fact that they are Muslims, which I respect and love. And I have a very fine Iranian philosophy student that I'm in contact with in Iran, who is an excellent thinker, and he was very interested in my Christian books. That, to me, indicates that person's intellectual ability, that they're willing to go beyond their immediate local thinking into other forms of thought, just like I would be willing to be informed about the Muslim faith and the Hindu faith, at least to be informed. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm happy to know it. The more you know, the happier you'll be. Next, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The Christian books are essays in the Christian worldview, essays of faith, culture, politics, and philosophy, a book, an analysis of the 41 parables, and most lately a book on the Psalms, a commentary, a full commentary on this of all 150 Psalms. And I'm very happy that people are buying this book. I've had inquiries about it. And for me, the Psalms are the, as John Donne, the great English poet, said, the Psalms are the manna of the church. They are the great, great lyric poetry, religious lyric poetry that the church has produced. They are the products of Jewish lyric poetry, and they're great. I love them. And I memorized a number of them when I was in Sunday school, the first, the second, and 23rd Psalms. They are worth reading and rereading because they reflect the mind of God in Christ as he informs us of his will and his thinking. I also am writing other books, a book on the miracles in the Bible, a book on the miracles in the Bible, a book on the analysis of the book of Job, two blog books of my blogs, political, theological, and literary blogs, and I have other books planned. I've written over 800 blogs, literary, theological, and political, and these will be published into two books soon. And I've had many visitors from many countries visiting these blogs, both on my website and on academia.edu, where many, many people from many countries read and upload these articles of mine. By the way, I'm preparing another legal book on pretrial motions and hearings in criminal law. I've partially written a little bit of it. I will be proceeding to write it fully. And I have also written three very large articles, two in Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, which have been one on the United States educational system and another on sexual orientation discrimination, which I oppose. I abhor all forms of hatred and discrimination as a Christian. I want everybody to be available to the love of Jesus, which is the object of my thinking. I've also written an article. These articles on Academicus have been bought by the State Department and by many European universities and Asian universities all over the world. And I had an article in the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure that's also by the State Department and by the United States Supreme Court. So I'm happy to say that what I write is read by many people at many levels of society. I'm going to talk about, next I want to get on to the topic for today, which is a little comment about John Milton. Now, John Milton was one of the top poets in the world and thinkers. And when he was blind, he undertook the feat of writing an epic poem. And to write an epic poem is perhaps the most challenging, demanding task you can have. Mortimer Adler said in his great book, How to Read a Book, that the writing of an epic poem is the greatest challenge that any writer can undertake and have. And Milton did this. He wrote this great epic in 12 books, and he was blind. He also wrote a sequel to it, Paradise Regained, when he was blind. He wrote a modeled himself on a Greek play in Samson Agonistes, and he wrote it when he was blind. He had a tremendous, tremendous will and intellect to produce this work. It is amazing that a person in his blindness should produce such great work. But he did, because of the tremendous will that he had and his faith. You have to understand, I'll talk a little about Milton and his work. And Milton's poetry, I had a course, I read Milton's poetry for the first time in a college course, and I read Paradise Lost with amazement and wonder. Milton's epic poem was an attempt to fully understand, I think, to fully understand history. For Milton and for Christians and any kind of person with any kind of thought mechanism, the Christian and Puritan background in the classics and Bible, beginning in the creation story. So Milton was operating from a unique perspective of history. For Milton, the Christian and Puritan, imbued in the classics and the Bible and the Greek and Latin patristic writings, history had its beginning in the creation story in Genesis. For Milton and for all Christians and Puritans, imbued in the classics and the Bible and the Greek and Latin patristic writings, history had its beginning in the creation story. And for Milton, the second crucial cornerstone and point of history, and this is very important, I think Milton was right in this, was the subject of Paradise Lost, the fall of man into sin, bringing death, pain, suffering, famine, and all forms of wickedness into what was meant to be a world of perfection and in harmony in relationship to God and Christ. So, Milton correctly analyzed in this epic poem the subject to be the fall of man, and he analyzed it as a critical point in human history. Now, a lot of people are going to say to me, what are you talking about? This isn't history. This is some kind of this is a kind of fantastic story. I can't see this as history, but this is cosmic history. This is history understood on a level that we can only begin to understand. Milton understood it, and he knew that this is a world of sin and death and pain and suffering and war and famine and all forms of wickedness. And he said it was not meant to be this world of perfection, was not meant to be this way. We were meant to be in harmony and relationship with God and Christ. But it went wrong. And he's right in analyzing the critical point in this epic poem that something did go wrong, very much went wrong. The reason why man fell into sin, because God gives us free will, and he gives us a free choice. He doesn't want robots. He wants a voluntary relationship. Thus, even Satan, the fallen angel, is given freedom to do his will. He was allowed to enter the Garden of Eden and tempt our first parents to a fall. The failing of Satan and the failing of Adam and Eve was pride and ego. Satan and his angels were cast from heaven into hell because they didn't want to be under God. So here we have it here. Satan and the fallen angels didn't want to be served but to rule. Satan says in Book 2 of Paradise Lost, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. And that was the conclusion of Adam and Eve. They didn't want to be their pride gave in to them. The failing of Adam and Eve was that like Satan. They were led fooled to think that they were equal to God. So this is what Milton was about. He was analyzing the crucial point in human history before actual temporal history came into being. It was an event, but it was an event outside of time. And the fact of the matter is that Milton analyzed the fall of man into sin, which brought about this horrible, wicked world. He understood that to be the crucial point in human history. There are people that are going to say that Milton and his poem are backward. They don't see the point. And they don't believe it. The stuff about angels and Satan and gardens and snakes, they're going to say it's nonsense. But it's not. Because Milton, in these symbols, leads us to understand that something terrible went wrong in human history. Something awful went wrong. And he knew it. And anybody who looks at the world knows it too. If you haven't reached this conclusion, if you don't know this, then you're wearing rose-colored glasses. Milton took off the glasses. He was blind. And yet blind, he was able to write this great epic poem. For me, Milton is the greatest English poet and a first-class thinker. And for me, his thinking and his definition of the problem of sin was a reality that he understood. He was no fool, John Milton, and in his blindness, he wrote this great epic poem of the fall of man into sin, which was quoted named Paradise Lost. And in the name of that poem, he tells us how things went wrong, and that we lost our chance to be something very wonderful and great that had to be rescued by the cross. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk tonight, and I'm going to talk about Milton's poem and Milton again tomorrow night, and I'm going to give you a little more info about this, but I'm just saying that Milton, is the greatest English poet. He wrote other things. He wrote Comus, a very wonderful mask, M-A-S-Q-U-E. He wrote L'Allegro and Il Penseroso, lyric poems. He wrote wonderful lyric poems and sonnets. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, read this great thinker, read this great poet. Don't miss out and get into his thinking and his thought set, because his thinking is very deep and is well worth understanding. In Milton, we have the Puritan, we have the Christian, we have the Puritan and Christian who had the insight, while blind, to understand the crucial event and horrible event in human history that brought about almost our virtual destruction. So it brought wickedness, it brought pain, it brought evil, it brought suffering. It brought disease. It brought everything bad into the world that you can imagine. Milton knew, had the intellect to understand that the story in Genesis 2 is not an idle chatter. It is God informing us of a reality that something very much went wrong that had to be repaired in the cross. Did something go wrong, ladies and gentlemen, whether you believe it or not? It's quite obvious that the world is very, very confused and is wrong in 100,000 different ways. In light of that information, Paradise Lost will always remain, and Milton will always remain relevant, will always remain pertinent, and will always be challenge us to understand the nature of this world and our fallen natures and the nature of this fallen world. Hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and I'll be talking again about Milton's Paradise Lost tomorrow night. Good night.